Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Talk All Ashes, the podcast that covers all things Ashes of Creation related. My name is Ferenczi, kind of MMRU variety guy, and I'm joined by my brother Subjective.
Hello again.
And today we are breaking down a lot of things. We're kind of diving into some questions. We're doing these usual things that we do week in, week out on our podcast. So if you kind of want to learn more about Ashes, if you just want to hear two brothers talk about MMOs and kind of our experiences and, you know, kind of theorize about stuff, well, you were in the right place. And if you're interested, subscribe and like on YouTube. We certainly would love to have you along for the ride. You can join our Discord as well if you want some more conversation. But today we are kind of doing something a little bit different. We're just taking a viewer suggestion, and we're going to be talking about like what Ashes of Creation might offer for non-MMO players. This was actually suggested by iNewbie from our YouTube comments section, so shout out to you. I thought this was a really cool idea and something that we could dig a little bit into. It's a little bit different because, you know, Subjective and I are both MMO players, obviously. Subjective is definitely the, I'd say, more traditional like MMO person. Like, he's put a lot of years into World of Warcraft and some other MMOs as well. I am much more of I've played a ton of MMOs, including some odd ones you've probably never seen or heard about, but never really stuck with an MMO for a long time. So we thought maybe I could kind of offer that perspective of somebody who is, you know, not a long-term MMO, not a traditional MMO player. I'm more of like an FPS player, but yeah, so we thought we'd have some discussion, maybe chat about some things and maybe talk about this. So if you're not really into like the traditional MMO, if you're not a longtime MMO player, maybe there's some things in here that will interest you. And I'm going to kick it off just by kind of asking a question here as what do you think Ashes can offer for the non-MMO player? I will start as kind of like the, I'd say, more non-MMO player. And I think Ashes, again, based on what I know about it, based on what we've seen, has a lot to offer the, you know, not traditional MMO player. And again, if you've listened to the podcast, you'll know that I talk about Star Wars Galaxies a lot, which was also an MMO, which I think had a lot to offer, like the non-traditional MMO player. And so like the thing I'll probably kick it off with is really, I think, the crafting system, the artisan system, being an artisan is really kind of like an option and an occupation within Ashes of Creation. Like, potentially you could, if you just wanted to, purely focus on that, you know, whether it's, you know, doing animal husbandry and, you know, breeding mounts and training mounts and all these different things, whether it's, you know, being a blacksmith, just focusing on providing weapons for people, you know. So I think for me, like, you know, Star Wars Galaxies had that too, where like they had a whole class that was an artisan class. And I'm hoping Ashes will be similar to that based on, you know, again, a player run economy. The economy can kind of take a central focus. So for like players that maybe are more into games like Stardew Valley or, you know, games that are like the cozy games that we've kind of mentioned in the past, like I truly think this is going to be a potential option for you, because again, you can earn gold, you can progress the game by doing crafting, and there's not necessarily a 100% need to like necessarily go out and, you know, get into PvP, get into combat. So that's one area where I think some folks could definitely dig into. I don't know if you agree or disagree as kind of like the traditional long-term MMO guy sub, but.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing Ashes can offer a non, well, I'm going to kind of like generalize it. It's going to like, not just Ashes, but kind of that Ashes also, I'm going to generalize it from like the perspective of Ashes of Creation, but from like people who may like cozy games like Stardew Valley and stuff. Like, hopefully Ashes will offer like cozy gaming, but with a lot more social. I know Stardew Valley has co-op, right? But think that on a, I don't know, like, what is it? Eight player co-op now in Stardew. Yeah. So, and I think they're aiming for 10,000 people per server. So if you like a lot more social interaction with maybe meeting new people, that's what Ashes or MMOs in general can bring to the table. Some people don't, but I mean, I'm not like a super social person in real life, but I do like the social aspect of online gaming. It's not all positive, but it's also not all positive like in real life. So, I just think Ashes can offer you, if you want to be social, but like if you like Stardew Valley, or maybe you like, I don't know, Baldur's Gate 3 or Skyrim and stuff like that, but you want an additional layer of social interaction. Hopefully, based on everything we know about Ashes, it might check all those boxes. I mean, I don't know how comparable to Stardew Valley it will be, because obviously they're completely different games. One's a 2D game and Ashes is a, 3D MMO, but I do hope they have cozy, like, symptom or not sym systems in the game, because fishing, farming, we know they're gonna have farming, they're gonna have animal husbandry, crafting is a huge part of the game. So even if you don't like PvE, maybe you just like economic stuff, you can almost can tie it into like city builder games too. Like, except like you're not, I mean, you can kind of build, mini cities in this game. I don't know how customizable they will be, but I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do in Ashes if it all comes to fruition.
No, I definitely agree, and we're probably going to be talking about like other games and MMOs and things like that. And just very quick disclaimer, just because a game doesn't have certain things that Ashes seems like it's going to have, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just maybe that's how the game wasn't designed. And I'll give you an example, like World of Warcraft, right? One of the reasons I never stuck around with World of Warcraft is because one of the reasons was because the crafting just was felt pretty like shallow to me. It just wasn't like in depth. It wasn't really like a true player on economy, and so that just wasn't for me. And I think some of the things you're talking about too are hopefully, for like the non-MMO player, really the thing, a thing that can really add a lot of, meaning in an MMO is like that social aspect that you're talking about. It's one of the reasons why, I play like mostly multiplayer games, often with my friends, sometimes, with randoms. And like just that adds such an important layer, and an MMO even more so, right? MMOs, at least like maybe older school MMOs, which I think Steven is aiming for in Ashes of Creation, is those social systems and kind of like those social interactions are what can add a lot of weight to decisions. We've talked about it before where you can gain a reputation in Ashes of Creation potentially by the type of crafter you are or by the type of player you are and how you interact with people. So it can some ways mimic real life in that regard, but obviously it's a game, which I think is cool too, because sometimes in a game, like if you want to be the pirate and the bandit who raids caravans, like you can do that where you can't really do that in real life. So, it can kind of give you some fun in that regard. And I think for the crafting too, I definitely think there's like a demand for, you mentioned Stardew, which has 8-player co-op. A game, I don't know if it's Palia or Palia, which I was pretty interested in initially. Never, it was supposed to kind of be like a cozy kind of crafting, almost Stardew-ish type game that was like an MMO, but it didn't kind of work out like that exactly. Still kind of a cool game. It has some cool things going on. But I think if Ashes truly is, 10,000 person servers, you're getting to interact with people, you're getting to make like those connections. I think that's something that a non-MMO player will really come to appreciate, because it just, again, like there's all kind of cool things that can happen, whether they lead to, big, node wars over some dispute, maybe like somebody got gypped on like a craft order or something like that. Or, maybe it's just like building that reputation kind of like on a server, like people know you. I'm like, oh, that's the really cool blacksmith that always like hooks me up and gives me a good deal. And, stuff like that can be really, really fun that you just honestly can't get from, any other game, honestly, other than an MMO.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of get that experience from other games, but not, I don't think on the level of an
I don't
MMO.
think you can
But
on the level of, like I said, there's some games like where there is that element. Maybe it's like Ark Survival Evolved, where you're known as like the Dino Breeder and stuff like that, but it's on like a much smaller scale.
yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I meant. It's like on a much smaller scale, like 7 Days to Die, stuff like that, or Rust, or other
Oh
games that
yeah.
kind of do a lot of crafting and building, but on a much smaller scale. And I think those games are designed around more building customization, because I don't know if you'll be able to build like in those games in Ashes.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of, this question is a really good one that iNewbie asked, but it's very hard to convince someone who's a non-MMO player to play an MMO, because MMOs are extremely extremely intimidating. Like, a lot of them have steep learning curves. Just look at modern WoW. Final Fantasy 14 takes like 300-400 hours if you power through it to get to end game.
Hey, can
Just
I
a
wanna I
lot
wanna
of,
jump in
yeah.
because I think you're bringing up a super good point. Like, because you are the experienced player, so you would have a lot of knowledge on this. Like, what do you think like an MMO, and I'll give my experience too as someone who's maybe not as hardcore MMO, like what do you think like an MMO can do to like make that experience of playing an MMO, which you like you point out is can be really daunting because there's so many systems, there's so much going on, you know, they can consume a lot of time. Like, what can they do to like make that experience better for like a new player coming into the game?
Like any MMO or Ashes
Yeah,
right
Ashes,
now?
any MMO, I mean, just speaking
Well,
generically, I guess.
I think a lot of the old I'll do the older MMO. A lot of the older MMOs are harder to get into because those games are just evolved for 10, 20 years now. Like we're modern World of Warcraft, it's not too difficult to get into, but then once you get into the end game and you need all these add-ons and min-max and your DPS, and then there's some toxicity in Mythic Plus and all these other silly systems. Well, not silly, but systems. But like DPS meters, like wow, like you don't do good enough, people kick you out. It's like it may not take a lot to get in the end game and say like wow, but the punishment comes later with the min-max and you have to do for like raids and dungeons and getting high-end gear. They are starting to change some of that, but I mean the game is 20 years old this year, so. But a game like Ashes, since it's not out yet, like I would, it's like the best way is you if you really want to get into Ashes as an MMO, you got to start following it now. And even if you're not an alpha or beta or don't want to pay to get into it, just listen to our podcast, listen to other podcasts, go on YouTube, watch the game develop, and you should be pretty knowledgeable by the time the game actually comes out, because we're still, I would say, 2 years at least away, maybe longer. And that's, I think, just keeping up with the game, because a lot of people who are get hyped for game, I'm not saying get hyped for the game, I'm saying like a lot of other games people will get hyped for, like Elden Ring and stuff like that. You kept up with the game, you watched all the trailers and stuff. It's just like spend a little time learning about the game if you really want to dig into it, and then you'll slowly build up all that knowledge. Because playing into any MMO, because like me, I'm comfortable with WoW, right? I can log on now and I'll be fine, even though I haven't played in months. But Ashes will be intimidating to me a little bit, even as a veteran player, because it's a new game and it's like I'm attached to World of Warcraft. 20 years. It's hard to. When World of Warcraft first came out, it was hard for me to give up Dark Age of Camelot because I was like, I don't want to learn all this new stuff. But eventually I did. So they are intimidating, but I think if you just follow along slowly, you can get into the groove.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with what you're saying. And I kind of compare it to Escape from Tarkov, kind of similar like that to an MMO where it's kind of got this high barrier to entry, like where you do really have to kind of commit to the game and learning everything. And I think like for a lot of people, like I know you've kind of played it and been like turned off by a little bit and because of some of that stuff, like, but for someone that can kind of break that barrier, like break through that like that barrier to entry, like it's really rewarding. Like Escape from Tarkov is one of my, even though it's been going through some issues, has been one of my favorite games because like there's just so much to do. There's so much depth. There's so much like things that kind of happen within the game, whether it's like building your hideout or getting like knowing certain loot you need for quite like so. There's all these different things, and the thing that really kind of broke through that barrier of entry for me was kind of investing that time you mentioned. Like, all right, let me watch some YouTube videos to learn some of the maps and like things like that. But kind of, in digging into this a little bit, like,
Actually, can I just interject
no,
real
go
quick?
ahead.
I would consider, I know you're talking about Tarkov and it's great because you have that experience, but I'm just going to say, I think Tarkov is on the higher end of learning games. Like, I think you need 1,000+, I would say well over 1,000+ hours to really learn that game, right? Kind of like Path of Exile, you need thousands of hours to really learn how to min-max in that game. Whereas WoW and Final Fantasy, you need a lot of hours, but I don't think you need anywhere near the levels of Tarkov and like Path of Exile or some of these hardcore games.
I would agree. It is very high just in terms of all the knowledge you need. I would say probably like a few hundred hours to like truly at least grasp like every mechanic and things that are happening within the game and like things you need, like needing to know certain quests. But like if you truly want to know it and like be efficient at it, yeah, I would say probably like a good 1,000 hours to really to understand all the maps and like where to loot and all these different things that can kind of go into it. So
yeah, and like I just want to sorry again, but yeah, I don't think you need that kind of I don't really, because like I said, I tried Tarkov, like me, you're the expert at, like I feel like I had to invest way more. Like you have what, like 3,000 plus hours in the game? I have like, yeah. I have over 10,000, maybe 20,000 hours in WoW, and I feel like if I just put my mind to it and I didn't know how to play it, I feel like I could get in, learn WoW way quicker than a game like Tarkov, or even PoE. I have 300 hours in Path of Exile, and I just, like, the amount of websites and background things you have to do to min-max in that game is insane. And I'm not saying those types of games shouldn't exist. I just think that, I do think, honestly, MMOs do have a lower barrier to entry than, say, games like Tarkov and Path of Exile.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. Tarkov and PoE are some of, like, the most engaging, like in-depth games because of that, but they're also some of the hardest games to get into because it's truly like a commitment to understanding it for sure. And I'll kind of like bring this back into an MMO perspective because we not too long ago, me and you, we played and we're playing like Dragonflight and stuff like that. And I was starting, you know, I played World of Warcraft in beta, you know, I played at launch, but I quit shortly after that. And, you know, so I kind of wanted to, you know, we ran through some stuff and like we really ran through. I think I hit level max level in like a day or two or like a couple days. And obviously you being there was as like kind of a guide to get me through really fast was obviously significant, but it didn't feel too bad. You know, MMOs, I think, have gotten really good at making things like getting through kind of like the leveling experience pretty quick. But like if I wanted to go into engage like in any of the major systems or mechanics within the game, like you mentioned, like Mythic Plus or just raids, other raids in general, or PvP, right? Like that would have required like a significant or that would have caused, I think, a pretty big problem, because honestly, I really didn't feel that comfortable running around as my character, you know, having, you know, just finished in like 2 days. And so I think one thing, and I think Ashes is trying to do this too, is that what made classic WoW, like, I think such like a better experience for kind of getting to get into the game, and why I think a lot of people that weren't MMO players at the time became, you know, MMO players, because like, you know, the leveling up process was so, you know, took a while. But I think that had, you know, the benefit of like, oh, like I really know my class by the time I hit level 60 max level. And I really know like certain mechanics that just rushing through to the max level in retail current WoW was like, I have no idea what my character's doing. Like I just have all these abilities. Like I can, you know, shoot some spells or some arrows or whatever. But like actually getting to put in that time. And so hopefully Ashes will kind of like have that similar pacing, like where it's not a rush necessarily to get through it. Hopefully it's not a drag. Sometimes, you know, classic WoW can be a little bit of a drag leveling up, but hopefully it's well paced, so you can really get to like learn your class and kind of understand like some of the mechanics as you're doing it, if that makes sense. And I know you've played classic and retail WoW, so I'm not sure what you think about like kind of the pacing and things like that and how that contributes to like, you know, getting into an MMO.
Well, Steven said that Ash is going to be a little more difficult than say WoW.
I think it's like, going to be WoW, a long process to level up, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know the exact number, but I remember somebody bringing it up and saying like it's going to take X amount of hours, and I remember seeing that and being like, that's a pretty long time to level up.
Yeah, I just, again, I still, yeah, they have an idea where they want it to be, but who knows if it's actually going to take that long by the time launch comes around, because it may not, you know, it may not play well in alpha and beta, and people, and you know, people might just want to, they may change it. So, but yeah, like I think Ashes will be a more difficult MMO to get into, like leveling wise, because we're kind of, Steven kind of wants to go back to what more traditional MMOs are like, whereas modern MMOs like well, not modern, but modern versions of, say, World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy are much different. They got like queuing systems and stuff, whereas Ashes is everything's out in the world. There's open world dungeons that you'll have to fight over. That's PvP can be very intimidating for a lot of MMO players. And WoW was the first game to really like launch MMOs into the stratosphere in terms of, popularity. And they've been, up there for quite a while. I mean, WoW has ups and downs, and I think Ashes is a little different because hopefully you can kind of choose your play style. Like, if you don't really like there's always going to be PvP in the game, and I know a lot of people don't like that. But Steven's also said he's not developing that game to be, cater to every like PvE. I mean, he's trying to cater. He's just develop. He has a vision for the game, kind of like an old school MMO, and he's sticking with it. Whereas, other games have evolved over time to be like, well, you could be safe from PvP by turning off PvP. I mean, PvP is still opt-in in Ashes, but if someone but you still can be ganked out in the world, but that player will get corruption, so they will be punished for it technically. We don't know how these systems are going to work out to prevent stuff like that. So it's like trying to convince someone to just play Ashes in general when it's so far off is a difficult task. I mean, I know this game gets memed on because it's been in development, people say, for 10 years. It hasn't been in development for 10 years. I think they started development in 2017, but they only had like 10 people. Now they have 200 plus. But I feel like, if you really are interested in Ashes, we're gonna. Francie and I are going to put out videos. Other content creators are going to put out videos. Ashes is kind of, the hype is kind of rising for Alpha 2, but people should temper their expectations because it's not a finished product. It's still 2+ years away, I would say. And I would say, like, if enough systems are in Alpha 2 and people put videos out there for them, like, or if you have an idea for a video, maybe you're interested in Ashes and you want to make a video on, like, if it's in the Alpha 2, like, Animal Husbandry, I mean, as long as it's not too punishing, I mean, I don't think any of the systems are going to be sped up, but I would love to just make videos on that and see how it really works. And, I think that's a great way to really get yourself into the game. Maybe you'll eventually latch onto something you like. It's like just watch a, you watch videos of Baldur's Gate 3 or something or whatever, and you're like, oh, I'm definitely playing the mage or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to, if you're not sure about a game, definitely like check it out. Like I watch Twitch streams all the time of games to like see what I'm interested in for sure. But it, and I think too, you brought up that like, Ashes isn't necessarily being designed to appease everybody, but my hope is too that will kind of appeal to people that maybe aren't like the traditional MMO player because, even though there's a lot of folks that don't like PvP, like maybe if you're a MOBA player, like you play League of Legends, Dota, whatever, then hey, maybe Ashes might be something that's more interesting to you because again, now you're talking about, there's a lot more persistence, right? Things that you're doing have long-term consequences. Again, there's like social aspects too. So, even though it may not appeal to like standard, WoW player that maybe likes PvE and dungeons and stuff like that, maybe you will in other ways. But if you're just like a PvP person, if you like, if you're like me, you like games that are like about going head to head with somebody, whether that's like Tarkov or whether that's like a MOBA, maybe that's something that could appeal to you as well. And I did some quick research while you were talking. So again,
Oh,
this.
I just have one. I wanted to add one thing, like
Okay.
just a quick comparison. Like, if you want to compare MMOs, think of World of Warcraft as the roller coaster at a theme park. It's called a theme park MMO for a reason. It's pretty on rails. It has pretty specific goals every season and expansion, and the developers kind of guide you on the way. Whereas Ashes is more like the entire theme park. The players can build out in the world, they can build the towns, they can initiate, the caravan battles and stuff. So whereas WoW is like one specific attraction, Ashes is aiming to be the like the entire theme park of, for the genre. Like sandbox, that's why they call it sandbox MMO. But it's like one is a theme park MMO, which is, on rails, you know what you're getting into, like roller coaster, and then The other is like the whole theme park. You can choose where to go and what to do.
Yeah, that's definitely the hope. And, you know, like, you know, World of Warcraft might have like this amazing roller coaster, which is like, you know, PvE and like dungeons and stuff like that. But, you know, maybe the PvP is like a merry-go-round, you know, something that's maybe not as kind of like in depth or like catered to like folks that are into like PvP, where, you know, hopefully Ashes, again, we don't know, is going to be, there's going to be multiple like roller coasters you can kind of go on depending on what you like and what your interests are. At least that's a goal. We don't know. Who knows? We'll see. But I did do a little bit of research because we were talking about it. Again, this is obviously subject to change, like testing, all that good stuff. But Steven did say that if you play Ashes of Creation for 4 to 6 hours per day, which is actually a lot, I think, particularly if you're like more of a casual player, you'll hit max level in 45 days, which I think is that's pretty long. Am I wrong on that?
In 2024, that's insanely long.
Yeah, I said that's really long.
How many hours is that? Like you said, 4 to 6 hours a day for 45 days?
If you could stall, I can do math, but.
Okay. I mean, in my opinion, that's, my 2 cents is that's too long. That's just way too long. I understand. How long is it?
That is, so I did the average 4 to 6. I did 5 hours. That is 225 hours, I believe.
Okay.
Which is not like, I mean, that's not, that's long horrible for a level up process. Like if you think of it just purely from leveling up, but like, I mean, you might be doing other things on top of that as well. So, I mean, who knows?
If you compare it to WoW, if you know what you're doing in WoW, a new player would obviously take a lot longer, but in WoW, I can get max. I never used a boost in WoW outside of like the pre-orders for expansion boosts, and even then I hated it because it's like it threw you into a max level class and you didn't know what to do. So I would level up all my new characters. That's how quick it is. It takes me 12 to 16 hours max, and I could probably get it way under that if I min max it, which I don't. I just dungeon grind because that's what I enjoy.
Yeah.
And 225 hours is getting up to like Final Fantasy levels. I think it's not terrible for the first ride, but you know, I don't want my ult to be 225 hours. No yeah, way.
That's definitely the thing, is like if you want to like make an ult or something like that. But again, I guess we'll have to see, because again, one of the best leveling experiences that I ever had that really got me into an MMO was Classic WoW, which is a longer level up experience. I don't know if it's, I definitely don't think it's that long, but
because no, it's not.
Yeah, I think it takes like I wouldn't know in terms of hours, but it was like a couple of weeks, maybe like
back then it was that long for a casual player.
Yeah,
easily. Like it could take you a month or two to hit max level if you were super casual. But I think the fastest I ever did it was 6 days played, which was pretty insane back then. It wasn't a record or anything, but yeah. I got 6 days played was like 1 to 60 in 2 weeks in original WoW. That's because I had so much knowledge and like I knew what to do for every quest, whereas a new player, they would have to look it up and stuff. And you didn't have multiple monitors. So like, yeah, I mean, honestly, it probably would equal out in 2024 from Classic to now.
Yeah. And today too, like, is, you know, the modern day playing an MMO, because like, you know, as soon as like the game comes out, there's going to be, I mean, there's already there's already websites with like talent trees like that you can actually like click on and start like kind of designing like what type of character you want to be. Like there's a couple talent trees, I think there's one for like the ranger, there's one for the fighter, just purely based on the videos we've seen. So like there's so much like more information, like there's going to be so many, if the game is like, you know, good, there's gonna be like a million content creators that are going to be like, here's how you level up as fast as possible. So I will be kind of curious to see if that 200, I think it was 225 hours ends up being,
that'd be cut
accurate.
Back a lot.
Yeah. Or,
yeah.
You know,
also, we yeah. also live in a different age. Back then it was much harder. Like people still had dial up in 2004. Like nowadays, like with this, like the really open development of Ashes of Creation, there's going to be a lot more info from day one than there's going to be, say, World of Warcraft, just on the internet in general, from all these videos and everyone following the game, and not just the devs, you know, pumping out information. Also, it's a different world we live in. Like you can't, it's hard to compare the two just because of that.
No, definitely. And And like you said, and again, comparing it to Tarkov, because I have so many hours in that, and you know, there's, it is MMO adjacent in some ways, like some of the systems, like, you know, if I'm just starting off playing Tarkov, it would take, you know, a really long time to kind of reach what most people consider the end game, which is getting this, a particular item called the Kappa container. You know, that would take a really long time, but like doing it now would be, you know, so much faster, not just because there's so much more information out there, but because like I've done it before as well. So that it would be, I know what to do for the quests. I know what to do for like which weapons are good, you know, so like all these different things kind of factor in, but just something to like, you know, I know we're kind of getting a little bit off topic, but I mean, it is important.
It's
to like,
not really though. Yeah. Like I said, it's like the more open nature development of Ashes of Creation should ease the burden of getting into the game when it actually launches.
Yeah, definitely. Which kind of leads me into, again, this is going to be a little bit of a, I don't think I mentioned it at the beginning, this might be a little bit of a shorter of an episode. There's some time constraints, but hopefully that'll be okay. Maybe it'll work out well. But I did want to kind of dig into, because, you know, I think obviously like the best comparison of like, you know, a player who's maybe like really into like a single player RPG, maybe you like Cyberpunk, maybe you like Baldur's Gate 3, or, you know, maybe you like The Witcher 3, whatever. You know, I think there's kind of that natural transition of like, oh, like somebody who likes single player RPGs might like me, I love single player RPGs. They're one of my favorite genre, right behind FPS. Like, what is it like that would kind of make them want to play an MMO? You know, so if you play Baldur's Gate, which is, again, one of the best RPGs that I've ever played, you know, there's a lot of stuff in it that you can't emulate in an MMO, right? There's not that feeling of like, you know, meaning, which is one of the things that gets me a lot in MMO, like in Baldur's Gate. And I don't want to spoil too much. Like, you can make decisions that really affect and impact the game and the things that you do. But in an MMO, like, there may not be that luxury. And so I'm kind of curious, like, and I'll give my perspective as somebody who loves single player RPGs first. And then if you want to kind of add in too, like, I think again, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but again, that like, I think that one of the biggest things is not only the social element, but like the persistence, right? It's Baldur's Gate's, even if you're like a 100% all achievements kind of person, right? It's generally finite, and it does have a ton of replayability. Unlike, not all RPGs do have that kind of replayability that Baldur's Gate 3 has. But even then, like, there is kind of like this finite sense of, you know, there's not really going to be any big content drops coming. There's not going to be any new things happening, right? They've already said there's going to be no expansions. And so I think that's where MMOs can really appeal to someone that loves like the single player RPGs, because not only are you going to get more content, but again, there's just that sense of persistence, right? That's going to carry over and have meaning. And that's not just going to go away when you know, all right, let me do a new run in Baldur's Gate 3. So like all the, your items stay, you know, your things stay, like everything is there. So I think that's a big factor for like, maybe like somebody who's more into like a single player RPG that, you know, maybe is kind of thinking about playing an MMO like Ashes, that hopefully they can kind of, you know, get to experience firsthand.
Yeah, I would say the difference between Baldur's Gate 3 and like Ashes, outside of like the multiplayer stuff, is players kind of dictate. Like, there's going to be the traditional story in Ashes. It's not going to be as crazy as like Baldur's Gate in terms of like, you know, how the story ends or whatever. Like, but the real story aspect is probably like how the players fight and deal with a story that like, that'll like never end. Kind of think of Grand Theft Auto role playing, like the players dictate the story, whereas end games like Baldur's Gate 3, the devs dictate the story, but they have a lot of open endedness to it, where like you can make decisions and change the ending, which is great. And then you got games that don't, that have, you know, what they call linear stories. It's the devs choose the ending, and you're just along for the ride. So, Ashes is kind of like, Ashes with player-run stuff is kind of like, I wouldn't say it's the Baldur's Gate 3 of MMOs. I would say it's like, it's just a heavily player-focused driven game where you are in control of the story. You are in control of when you go to war, when you kill someone in the game. It all has some meaning to a degree, because you can go out and gank people who aren't flagged for PvP, but then you'll become corrupt. And, you know, people might build stories on this on their own. They might build like bandit guilds or whatever and just gank everybody and get a lot of corruption, but they'll also lose all their gear when they die as their punishment. And then there'll be bounty hunters that hunt them down because they want to steal their loot and stop them from causing chaos. So that's kind of the difference between like WoW or in like Ashes is going to be a lot more player driven story, whereas it's going to have a dev driven story also, but there's also going to be a lot of player driven story just by stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
maybe a guild will form. Maybe there'll be pirates and they want to blow up every ship in existence, but then maybe there'll be anti-pirates out there that go kill them and get tons of loot, and then maybe they'll be Robin Hood players where they kill corrupted players and after they were ganked and then give back that loot to the people that got ganked by the corrupted player. I mean, we just don't know. That's one of the cool things about it, is the, like I said, sandboxy player-driven systems.
Yeah, the buzzword usually is like emergent storytelling or emergent narrative. And I think that's a good point too, is that's something that could really appeal to maybe someone that, you know, with a single player RPG, right? You know, you get the story told by devs. Again, you get to maybe have your impact depending on like get the choices you get to make. But with like an MMO like Ashes, like emergent storytelling is like you get to write your own story, right? So if you kind of invest into that, right, you can like have some of the best experiences and best stories, because not only did you know participate in it, maybe you created it. I kind of compare it to also playing like, you know, like a tabletop RPG like Dungeons and Dragons, which is something I do, and like, you know, you could run the same adventure in Dungeons and Dragons, and I've run like multiple adventures with like different groups. And based on the group, like you get such different outcomes, right? And I think that's something that an MMO, like especially in like a sandbox open world kind of like, you know, MMO like Ashes can give you, is kind of that same, like there's a lot of mechanics in there that can kind of help you tell a story, but like how you tell that story is going to be completely up to like the players you have, the people around you. You know, an example I think of like D&D is like, you know, like I've, you know, done a campaign that was like, you know, the identical, right? It was kind of a set adventure, but like, you know, at one point, like, you know, one group wanted to, you know, do this big kind of epic assault on a, you know, siege on this castle. And I had another group that wanted to treat it like it was almost like, you know, like a Bond movie where you're like sneaking in and like trying to get into the castle and like blow things up from the inside. So, and I think Ashes is hopefully going to have that, like that level of kind of like storytelling where you can kind of create that. Maybe it's, you know, a node war popping off, or, you know, for political reasons and stuff like that, which I think is really, to me, is like so much fun for sure.
I really hope it does. Like think of it as like Dungeons and Dragons, but you know, like you're actually playing it,
right?
Not like, you know, text based. I'm hoping they can get that. Even if they get 50% of the way, that's crazy.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that would be I want to see these wars. Like, I just want to see stuff. I just want to see a war. Like, I just want to see a war started off by someone ganking someone, and then like two nodes go to war or something. That would just be absolutely funny and awesome at the same time.
Yeah, because the scale is so much grander too, and like that would be something I would try to like convince somebody. Like, if you play games like Ark, Survival Evolved, or Rust, you know, kind of like these, you know, very MMO light games where like maybe there's like 100 people or so in a server. And like, you know, I can think of so many experiences I've had playing like DayZ, like where these stories come up, you know, where it's like, you know, the underdog, or like an arc where, you know, we've been like a small tribe and then like something happens where like the big tribe, like, you know, kind of stomps on you and like wipes you, and then you rebuild and you're like, all right, we're going to get them back, even though we're the small tribe, by, you know, just kind of messing with them, you know, every day, you know. So there's all these different crazy things that can kind of happen. Like, you know, whether it's like, I remember in Ark, when I was playing once, like there's this big Uber guild, or tribe in the case of Ark. And like, they would just like, you know, if you got near them, they would just kill you. And like, if they wanted resources and you were trying to mine them, they would kill you. And so like, eventually the whole server basically kind of rebelled up against like this one group, and we kind of like took them on. It like, that's like so cool. And so like,
that's fun. Yeah,
that's like something you just can't get like in a single player RPG. It's something you can't get like, you can't get it like in a game like Rust or, you know, Ark, but like not to the immense scale. Like, you know, imagine something like that, but like on a, you know, thousands of players being involved, which would just be incredible. Yep. So that's really the dream and the hope, and something that you can really only get in an MMO. So, you know,
if we ever get to interview Steven one day, cross his fingers, never know. I would definitely ask him questions like that. Like, what kind of tools are you... Not, he didn't even have to tell me all. I'm just going to ask him, like, are you going to have enough tools in the game where, like, these X, Y, Z scenarios can happen? Because, dang, give it to me now.
Yeah, I think so, because he's talked about it, too. Like, you know, the things, like, these type of things that happen. I referenced it last podcast, but he was like, well, what if, you know, someone... you know, buys their way into mayorship. Mayor. And so, like, you're just like, that's good strategy. We'd love to see that. So hopefully those types of things can happen and unfold. But I'm really excited for it. I just think it's going to be so cool to, you know, and I'm, you know, I partially think of this episode, too, as like, you know, trying to convince people to kind of get into these types of things, you know, to get into Ashes and kind of look into it to see if it's, you know, something that maybe a non-MMO player would be interested in. Because, you know, I think that, you know, non-MMO players have a lot to offer, right? Because maybe they're not like the super experienced veteran. You know, they can offer like some social experiences and kind of get into these like political things that maybe the traditional MMO like WoW player isn't used to. So maybe they can add some of that too.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to like do that, like if you like that kind of stuff and maybe even drama in your video games, like it could be fun. I mean, like I said, it's all based on your preference. Maybe you don't like drama in your games. I mean, everyone's different. I mean, maybe you like doing the bad guy route. Maybe you want to play Ashes of Creation and be that guy, that bandit, that starts a bandit revolution and just recruits tons of more people like you, and you wreak chaos out there, but then, you know, at least you created a cool story, and you eventually got stomped out by bounty hunters or something, but, you know... you had fun doing it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like those are all the cool things that I can kind of jump in there. And I'm sure we could talk more about this. Like I said, there's so many different things that we didn't even get to. Obviously, there's like crafting systems. Like there's, you know, dungeons for folks interested in that. There's, you know, purely like PvP, like with castle nodes and like node wars. Like there's like... almost like that Game of Thrones element, like of, you know, all the political intrigue and stuff going on in the background too. So like there's a lot of potential here, I think. But I don't know if you had anything else that you wanted to add in or talk about, but if not, we can definitely wrap things up.
No, I think you summed it up quite well. I don't think we really need to dig into like dungeons and like all that other stuff. I think it's more about see what Ashes offers a little different than other MMOs, because every other MMO has these systems. We want Ashes to be more unique with its openness than other MMOs, and that's why I'm most excited for it. I mean, obviously I love all that other stuff, but give me the chaos and stuff just out in the open world. I don't know about you, but I love that stuff. Like, people hated Battlefield 2042 with its 128 player mode. I loved it because it was so much chaos, even though the game was pretty mediocre at best. But I love chaos. I don't know why, and I don't think I would cause as much chaos and Ashes, but you never know in Alpha.
No, I'm the same way. I love like more like the Battlefield versus like a Call of Duty, just because like it's open, like all these crazy things can happen. So I'm all about the chaos too. But yeah, I think that kind of wraps it up here. And so next week, I think we're planning to dig into. Like kind of do like a node wars part two, although we talked about like castle nodes, which kind of leads into like wars and node fight, like fighting within nodes and stuff like that. But we're calling it node wars part two because we have talked about nodes, we've talked about like castle nodes, so this is kind of maybe kind of us digging into and talking about some of the stuff that might pop up, because there's hopefully going to be a dev stream that maybe digs into this, or maybe they're going to release some videos where we'll get to learn more about like these node wars, which I think is a massive part of the game. So hopefully we can kind of chat about that and, you know, have some fun with that.
Yeah, we're going to do a little bit. We talked about Node Wars once before, but I think we're going to do a lot more theory crafting about this upcoming dev update for Node Wars. So we're going to list kind of like our hopes and dreams, maybe.
Yes.
Kind of a little theory craft, kind of a little prediction podcast before the actual, hopefully, big dev update at the end of May kicks in. That's what we're really aiming for.
Yeah, so if you kind of enjoyed some of the stuff we mentioned today, which is like that, you know, like emergent storytelling, like some of that like political intrigue like going on and like backstabbing, so maybe you can get a little bit more of that in the Node Wars Part 2, which should be coming next week. Again, we are available on YouTube in case you would like to listen there. We would definitely appreciate, as I mentioned at the beginning, subscribe, like, comment. Again, obviously, just as we have here, like, you know, clearly comments, you know, and suggestions will be things we really take seriously. We turn the whole episode into it. So again, shout out to iNewbie for this suggestion for this video, or join our Discord as well, which should be in the link of the description below. Like, you can chat with us there, throw more suggestions or questions and things like that. We'd love to interact with you. Leave us a review on your podcast service of choice if you're listening on, you know, Apple iTunes or, you know, Spotify, whatever. Yeah, so thanks for joining us. We really enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.